Blog Talk Radio.
Rock and roll, and welcome to ScaryCast's presentation of Murder 123. And it's good to be here with everybody. This is Dr. John. We've got an amazing, scary show. We've got a mean guy, and he's something else. But before we get started, before I introduce my wonderful co-hosts, I want to tell you about a true ghost story that just got reported today. What happened is there was a lot of stuff going on at this place, and all of a sudden, there was the word that nobody was around. Actually, the town is a ghost town. It's Myrtle Beach. They finally closed Myrtle Beach for a month. And so, yeah, that's my true ghost story. It is going to be deader than a doornail. So why in the heck do you think that I am headed to Charleston tomorrow, then up to see Robin and Pat McCrae? Because I don't want to hang out with the ghosts. Okay. I'm sorry. And speaking to the wonderful lady who's laughing, one of our great co-hosts, Robin McCrae. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty excited. And we have our next co-host, who I would like to thank for his inspiration on our bad guy of the week. The bad guy of the week is Carl Panzeram, and he's a bad guy. And it came to us by way of Tony Filosi, a really good guy who does some great ghost tours and hangs out with us at paranormal events and all that good stuff. How you doing tonight, Tony?
I'm doing good, John. How about you and Robin? You doing good, Robin?
I'm doing good. Hanging in here.
I can't wait to get into the story. This guy was something else.
All right. Well, now, speaking of that, I've got a couple of quotes, Tony, that I want to give to you and see if you know who said them. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with what we've been talking about, but I really do like this one particular quote. So we got a murderer, and they're getting ready to try to hang him. And sometimes, you know, I don't care who you are. I don't care how professional you are. It's not easy to bring yourself to be hanging somebody. It's a little tough. I don't care how bad they've been. And so the dude that they're getting ready to hang pops up and says, "Hurry up, you Hoosier bastards. I could kill 10 men while you're fooling around."
Oh, wow.
Hmm. Now there is a comment. Tony, wherefore out does that come from?
It sure didn't come from H.H. Holmes. I think it came from the one and only Carl Panzeram.
I think so, too. He was a badass. I mean, you know, Pee-wee Gaskins was disturbed, you know, and he was just Pee-wee, but, you know, this guy was like, I've never heard anyone be so proud of the bad things that he's done. I mean, he's like, I don't care. Another great thing that he said was, "I wish all you had one neck and that I had my hands around it." That's what he said to the executioner.
Good grief.
And
that's crazy.
And then here comes, let's see, which is the other one that I just think is so horrible. I've mistreated a few animals in my time, and I'm sorry that I'm unable to murder the whole damn human race at one time. Whew. Okay, Carl Panzeram. So let me get down to it. This guy's
actually, on that quote right there, John, he actually, in some of his letters, talked about wanting to start a war between the United States and Britain so there would be millions of people die just because he hated the whole human race.
Yeah.
He wanted everybody to die and suffer.
I've got that, I believe, in our little dossier here. Yeah, I mean, he was something. If you want to be a serial killer and a mean murderer, you would pattern your life after Carl Panzeram. So let me tell you who this guy was. And as usual, just stop me when you hear anything that shocks you. Are you ready? Well, his name was Charles Panzeram, and he was born in 1891, and he died in 1930. So he lived 39 years. He is listed as an American serial killer, rapist, arsonist, robber, and burglar. He did a lot of confessions when he was on death row. Okay, he claimed to have committed only 22 murders, and a lot of them couldn't be corroborated. Five of them could be. And now this is probably the least pleasant thing I've ever heard someone admit. He admitted to over 1,000 acts of sodomy with men and boys. We've never had anybody quite like that. And after a series of imprisonment and escape, he was executed in 1930 for the murder of a prison employee at Leavenworth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In Leavenworth, as tough as that place is, if you could figure out how to murder an employee there, you're pretty smart. Because I'll tell you what, Carl actually escaped. He escaped so many times that we all lost count, or everybody lost count. He's always getting out of jail. So, here we go. He's 11 years old. It is 1902. He stole some cake, apples, and a revolver from a neighbor's home. That's great. So in October of 1903, his parents sent him to the Minnesota State Training School. Now, we would have called that the reform school. While he was there, he was repeatedly beaten, tortured, and raped by staff members in what attendees called the paint shop, because kids would leave painted with bruises and blood. Panzeram hated this place where he got tortured so much that he decided to burn it down. And guess what? Without detection, he burned that thing down, that building down on July 7th, 1905. I tell you what, you talk about a criminal mastermind. Makes the Joker and the Penguin look like a bunch of idiots at the grocery, at the local grocery store. I swear it does.
Yeah, but the thing that's crazy about that, though, is it, what was he, 12, 13 when he burned the building?
Yeah, right, 12 and a half to 13, yep.
I mean, who does that? What do you think about that, Ryan?
Well, can you imagine the abuse that he went through? I mean, if you're a young kid with that kind of abuse, and no way to express your anger. You keep it inside and you internalize it, and it builds and it builds and it builds. And then at the slightest thing that you can think of that you can do, you're going to explode. And because he was so young when it happened, that changes him as a person. That changes his beliefs. That changes who he is.
Well, now, Robin, you just described, and you know, it's great. Now that we've done quite a number of these shows, we all can kind of see some patterns. I mean, if you think about it, Pee Wee Gaskin was beaten and raped when he was 9 years old in reform school. So, I mean, these guys, I mean, they just didn't have a chance. And you know what? If they'd had someone like some of us around them trying to encourage them to be good and helping them out and everything, you know what? We would have saved, in Carl's instance, we might have saved 22 lives. You can't ever believe that if you help a kid, you may be saving lives. You really might.
Yeah. I mean, you and have to understand that when these bad things happen to these guys, they were kids. They were children. They were innocent. I mean, all kids start out innocent. And then, and I was talking to somebody about this the other day. We are a product of our lives. We are a product of our environment. We're a product of what was done to us throughout our lives. And like it or not, that's what helps to determine what we become. And when you have these kids that go through that kind of abuse and there's nobody in their corner, there's nobody to stop it, there's nobody to help them, they're angry. They're angry there was nobody there for them. They're angry that this was done to them and nobody seemed to care. And as soon as they get big enough, they show how angry they are. Unfortunately, it's to people that had nothing to do with it most of the time, but it's where it comes from.
Well, another thing that parallels some of these other murderers is that he came from a broken home. His father, I think he was raised in Minnesota, And they had he was raised on a small farm, and in an early age, his I think he had, I forget how many brothers and sisters, but it was wasn't a
five,
super large family, maybe five or six.
Yeah.
But Dad went out one day and just boom, he's gone. Small farm, worked out farm, and all those children to raise. So at an early age, he had rejection. You know, and his world just flipped upside down, and from there he progresses on into the petty thefts
and things that weren't so petty. I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and I want to say something. I'm just going to interject and stop the show for a minute. I think about my parents, and I think about how I don't remember doing anything bad to anybody, and that's because my parents were really good. I had such a great home life, and it changed me. It truly changed me. Like, poor old Carl had what he had. But, you know, good parents will change your life as well, won't they, Robin?
Absolutely.
Tony, do you agree?
Yeah, I think that if you have guidance when you're younger, that it absolutely proper guidance, that it makes a difference in the direction of life.
Yeah, and
you know,
Robin, I'm so sorry. Please get back to what you were saying, because I had just drawn a breath and I didn't know you had something else to say. So please get back
right.
to that.
I was going to say that 9 out of 10 times when you look at these cases, you find these kids have been abused severely and molested. Now, we need to be fair and say that that's not in all the cases. Sometimes it happens because there is mental illness. There's other determining factors. So we can't blame it all on parents or anything like that. I'm not saying that at all, because there are some cases where, you know what, they've had a great family, they've had great parents, and due to mental illness or whatever, they are like that. But in a large majority, when you look at it, it's what went on. You know, as a child, those are your forming moments that really add up to what kind of a person you are. That doesn't mean, you know, are you a killer or a rapist? But, I mean, you know, how you look at the world. If you're with parents that, you know, are very easygoing and very loving and very giving, a lot of times your kids will be the same way. Not always. You know, people, I believe kids are born with a predetermined disposition to begin with. But there's a difference in having a predetermined disposition and being a murderer or a rapist. You know, there's a big difference. So, but a lot of times it does go back, not all cases, but a lot of times it does go back to what happened to them.
Right,
that is
like true. With the abuse. The,
yeah.
And the common denominator with these, they were sodomized in an early age. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting is I don't believe that it was purely sexual. I believe that it was about dominance in these types of situations. I think a lot
yeah.
of that, not all of it is about dominance, but I think a lot of it is about dominance and dominating, and then when
and control.
Then it's alert. Get control, and then when these children are done that way, then they repeat that. They think that's how they dominate. That's how that they can dominate and control the situations.
Now, my fine colleague,
just my two cents.
I think we have had an error in the system, and we're going to have to restart the show in the next 15 minutes, because I think we're going to cut off in a minute. So, could we reconvene at the stroke of 11 Eastern time, because the show's getting ready to close down? I don't know why. We've had a lot of weird things happen. So, can we reconvene in about 15 minutes?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony. I'll shoot you all the text about 3 minutes till. And everybody, come on right back for part two of the story of Carl Panzeram. Have a good one. We'll see you in about 15 minutes.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.